The signs are clear that economic recovery is already underway.
How would they taste?
It would bring far more jobs to unemployed Americans than could ever be created by new federal jobs programs. Make work jobs are just temporary at best, and we know that from past experience. More government spending for such jobs will only crowd out private borrowing for private jobs, raise the deficit, and reverse our dramatic progress in bringing down inflation and interest rates. So, I'm asking all members of the Congress to work with me to hold down spending and taxes in the same bipartisan spirit that's brought us such great progress on jobs and Social Security. Working together, avoiding a return to narrow partisanship, we can ensure a recovery that's strong and long-lasting. And now, because I believe in the sanctity of contracts, where is Sarah McClendon? Right there.
Thank you so much for recognizing me. Sir, you're about to embark on a long and complicated scientific exploration for war and death. Why cannot we have just as concentrated a program on trying to solve the mess by seeking better human relations, USA style, with the Soviet Union and other countries? Why don't we sell for cash some of the 190,000 tons of butter we're paying to store daily and daily adding to? The Soviets need butter desperately. The starving babies in Africa can drink the milk reprocessed from the butter. We have other surplus commodities. Why cannot we explore whether better living through sharing of food and consumer goods will make people turn from their warlords and bring about peace?
Well, Sarah, I think that what you have been asking literally is being answered. First of all, we are going to continue, not only in the area of disarmament, but every other way we can, to convince those who seem to be expansionists today that there is a better course if they're willing to come forth and join the family of nations that want to go forward together in peace and freedom. With regard to the food, the only restraint on that, we are adding to the commodities that we've held in storage under our own laws and regulations here. We're adding to the number of those, the amount of those that is going to be redistributed to the people of need, whether here or worldwide. But the one restraint that I mentioned is we have to be sure that in doing that, we don't just add further problems to the agricultural community by, in that disposing, interfering with or wiping out their potential markets. So it's a line that has to be walked. And we've been very careful with that. We have internationally made some of these things and these dairy products available, but at each time we have had to work very carefully so as not to either deprive our own farmers or deprive other allies and friends of ours of their commercial markets.
Yeah. President, why did you make that proposal now? In the light of the arms race that's going on with the Soviet Union, so to speak, and the negotiations over in Geneva, at a time when the budget is being beaten up in Congress because of the higher defense spending that you want, why did you put that proposal out now?
I put it out now because what better time? I've been having this idea and it's been kicking around in my mind for some time here recently, and constantly I have thought about the fact that the nuclear missile seems to be one of the only major weapon systems in history that has never produced or brought about a defense against itself. And I brought this up one day in a meeting in which the chiefs of staff were present and others, and we talked about it and discussed it and then discussed it some more. And since we don't know how long it will take or if or forever, that we have to start, the quicker we start, the better. But it is inconceivable to me that we can go on thinking down the future, not only for ourselves and our lifetime, but for other generations, that great nations of the world will sit here like people facing themselves across a table, each with a cocked gun, and no one knowing whether someone might tighten their finger on the trigger. And that there is one way, and the way we're pursuing, which is to see if we can get mutual agreement, to reduce these weapons and hopefully to eliminate them as we're trying in INF. There is another way, and that is if we could, the same scientists who gave us this kind of destructive power, if they could turn their talent to the job of perhaps coming up with something that would render these weapons obsolete. And I don't know how long it's going to take, but we're going to start because I am going to be signing an executive directive very shortly when I get out of here. Ellen?
Mr. President, the Soviets don't see it your way at all in terms. They say that you are, in fact, accelerating the arms race, that we are violating the ABM treaties, and that it's almost that you've thrown down the gauntlet.
Well, maybe they're looking at us in a kind of a mirror image. They're having us think like they think. First of all, it doesn't violate the ABM treaty. We just extended that for 5 years. The ABM treaty has to do with deployment. There is nothing in it that prohibits research, which is what we're calling for. I'm quite sure that whatever time it would take and whatever president would be in the White House when maybe 20 years down the road somebody does come up with an answer, I think that would then bring to the fore the problem of, oh, all right, why not now dispose of all these weapons since we've proven that they can be rendered obsolete? Bill?
The mutual deterrent has kept the peace, the mutual destruction approach, for 40 years. And are you moving away from that? The fear of mutual destruction.
But that's it. It's, as I say, it's like those two fellows with the loaded guns and cocked and ready. Yes, we have. I think that, but remember that for a great part of that period, we proved, I think, pretty definitely that we are not expansionists, that we're not aggressive, because we had to begin with a monopoly. And then for a number of those 30 years, we had such a superiority, as witnessed the Cuban Missile Crisis. When they blinked, I think it's safe to say it was because our superiority at that time was about 8-1. And if you recall, the Russian involved in those, or very high up in the Politburo involved in that particular incident, said in the hearing of his counterparts on our side that they would never again be caught in that position. And they started their dramatic military buildup. So you can't say that we have sat here even, and with the great amount of weapons that both sides have today, for those 30 years, for a long time. And as I say again, we proved, you have to ask yourself, how many nations in the world could have had the monopoly that we had and not have taken advantage of it, and we didn't. I remember I said what I said about the back of the room. I've got to go. Right to you. I think it was quicker than I was playing. You. Yes.
Oil prices declining. Would you support some sort of energy tax increase?
Well, we have one right now, the 5% tax, but that's is truly a user's fee. I don't believe that we should be looking at tax increases right now. With this recovery, the stage it is, I think we've proven our point. That our system, in spite of all the maligning that took place before it was even underway and having a chance to operate, has proven its success. We are definitely into a recovery. And to pick this time now to raise taxes in any way is risking setting back this recovery. I'm opposed to a tax increase right now. Wait a minute.
Even the standby taxes that you previously agreed to, do you want Congress to put in place this year a mechanism for standby taxes next year, or
well,
are you also backed off of that?
Well, I tell you, I'm still considering on that, but I want you to recall also that tax could not have been triggered unless recovery was established definitely and that the economic crisis was passed, and also that the Congress had agreed to the spending reductions that we believe will keep that recovery going. And so far, now, the gentleman who tried before, and then I'll come down from here.
Mr. President, we learned today of five more top-level resignations from the Environmental Protection Agency. These are all people who have been caught up one way or another in the congressional allegations. Doesn't this really look bad, and how can you reassure the people that the agency is operating properly?
I don't think it necessarily looks bad. I think what is happening there, and with the new director coming in, there are some of these individuals that have been through this whole thing, and I know that some of them, just as Ann Burford did, and all of those who implied that some way this was engineered, no. I never would have asked for her resignation. Ann Burford, for one, and some of these others feel that there will be far more chance of success of the agency continuing to function, that they can contribute by leaving. And I think that, as I thought of her, that it was a very generous thing and thought for her to have, and is true, because I think that all of the allegations and all of the accusations, in spite of the fact that no proof of any wrongdoing has been presented in all of this fuss as yet, that this is what's back of some of those, I can't speak for all, but some of those have let us know for quite some time that they wanted out, they wanted to leave.
President, are you going to offer a proposal for interim arms reduction in Europe next week? And are you going to continue to stick with Mr. Edelman, your nominee for arms control director, even though he appears to have been talking about personnel matters in the memos that were released?
I'll answer the last part first. You bet I'm sticking by Mr. Edelman. How someone can be hung out to dry for having received a letter from someone else. He didn't write the letter, he received it. All right, but isn't this natural that someone who is in a position of assuming the directorship of an agency or department or commission or whatever it might be is going to make inquiries of people on the scene with regard to personnel and so forth? And as he said, it was perfectly natural, I've done it myself, that when the letter came, he passed it to an aide for one who is collecting all the information that he would then have to deal with when he was in the job. And I think he is excellently qualified, and I think that the fuss that has been raised about him again is smacks of people smaller than the person they're attacking someone who's bigger than they are.
The first part of the question,
I knew there was, I talked too long on that other part. And the first part is, all I can say is, tune in next week. I will be speaking to this subject of our disarmament proposals and so forth next week, but there is nothing to comment on today. Now, Helen said thank you.
You can overrule her if you want.
Huh?
You're the president.
You're the boss.
Helen, you never told me that.
No. Thank you, Madam President.
And so the President of the United States has completed another of these Friday informal news conferences, this one running about 10 minutes. He began with a statement about the passage of Social Security bolstering legislation and jobs program last night. Of the Social Security refunding project, he said it lifts a dark cloud from over those who receive Social Security. He reiterated his pledge that no one will ever be left without their Social Security checks. On the jobs bill, he said that it adds virtually nothing to the budget while taking care of a major problem that is facing the country right now. He said that recovery is underway and that, in fact, will produce more jobs than the jobs bill. And he used that to then ask members of Congress to hold down spending and taxes. Then we went to the general questioning, and it started off with his keeping a promise to reporter Sarah McClendon, who represents her own news service, whom he had promised in his last informal news conference she would get the first question this time. She did, and she brought up the proposal that the president is making for development and research onto an anti-nuclear missile system of some kind that would probably be very high technology, that would be sometime far into the future, and which, of course, is already a source of controversy. On that subject, he said that he has been thinking for some time about trying to get away from the concept that you have to have security based on the threat of retaliation against someone else. He called it inconceivable to him that one would have to live forever with that perception of security. He also said that he does not think that we should be looking for tax increases of any kind. Once again, when it was raised that five more resignations have come from top administrators at the EPA today, the president said these people have not been fired. Like Ann Burford, they have chosen to step down because they feel it will help William Ruckelshaus, the incoming administrator, and others to get that agency back on track again. The president, in effect, again, attacking the attackers of the EPA, saying there's been no proof despite all the allegations. Finally, he said he is absolutely behind Kenneth Edelman as the Arms Control and Disarmament nominee. This is Steve Bell, ABC News in Washington.
This special report has come to you from ABC News in Washington. We now resume our regular program schedule.